Welcome, everybody. It's Living the Good Lifetime from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are pumped up, ready for a great show today. Are we not, Shell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Jim?
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, yes, we are. These are my radio team partners today on Living the Good Life. And we had church today. Did we have church today?
Oh, we had church.
Oh, did we have church? Shell, did we have church?
We definitely had.
You're going to have to get a little closer to the mic. We had fun, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that crazy pastor just totally wound up, right?
She was a wackadoodle today.
Wackadoodle today. See, Shell knows that word. She knows that word.
That could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, let's say it's a good thing today. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it was wild. And if you were not at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater today, you missed a mighty move of God, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more. But wherever you were this morning, we trust you were talking to the Lord, or maybe you were in worship at your local church, and that is great. And if you don't have a local church and you're in the Tampa Bay area, we invite you to come to Wackadoodle Central and enjoy what God is doing, because he is doing a mighty, mighty work. Pastor Jim, what do you say about what God is doing?
Miraculous.
Yes.
I mean, we're seeing prayers answered right and left,
right,
basically.
Right. Yes.
God is really is moving and raising us up.
Right.
You know, not Beacon per se, but lifting up the people in Beacon,
right,
helping us to grow and mature in,
yes,
him, moving us to a place where we're strong,
right,
in the Lord.
Amen. Can you feel that, Shell? You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I feel like we've grown a lot, and I am speaking of Beacon, because, you know, I don't go to any other church now.
Right, exactly.
I'm a loyal follower.
There you go.
But I just remember us being in the hotel room,
yeah,
and we didn't have a band.
Right.
And all our instruments were in storage.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any players.
We didn't even have anybody to play it if we had the instruments, right?
And membership is growing, and
yeah,
it's great.
And the band sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just fun.
Yeah.
But do you remember, because you were a part of that, do you remember believing God for the people to come in that would play those instruments? We could get them out of storage. You remember we believed God for a place to meet,
yeah,
that wasn't that stinky hotel room? You know, I mean, we say that with all love, but it was moldy and stuff.
It was kind of bad.
Yeah, it was kind of smelly.
And now we have what we, you know, call home.
Right.
Feels like home, very comfortable.
Yes.
Decorated the way we like. And
right,
we get free entertainment every week.
Yeah.
By you and the band.
By me and the band, right? But it's just God. Isn't it great? I mean, it's just fun to be a part of the family of God, you know? That reminds me of that old song. Remember the Gaithers wrote so many years ago? You and I remember that, and Shell's too young to remember that. But I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus
as we travel this sod.
Yes.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Ooh, and I don't know about you, but I am so glad I'm a part of the family, mm-hmm, of God. There's no place I'd rather be. I think I said it this morning. You know, I used to spend time on the weekends. This is many years back, because we're getting ready to celebrate our 10th anniversary as a ministry. But before that, prior to that, I went through a few years of doing the golf and the beach thing on Sundays and trips and stuff. And I am so glad that God has opened this opportunity to us. It's just exciting. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. What happens, Shell, to you when you come, you and Diana come into the service? It just seems like we've watched you grow, and we're going to talk more about that in a little while as we teach. But, I mean, can't you feel the difference and see the difference in yourself?
Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of things to do with your time, or that you could be doing. And, you know, it was a sheer act of will getting up this morning to go to church.
Sometimes
after being
it
up
is.
So late last,
yeah,
night.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
And then I took a nap today, so I have a cough syrup hangover.
Oh.
But, Yeah, it fills a void.
Yes.
A void that you have that no other activity, no other person can fill.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I feel more complete.
Yes, because it's you're a part of the family of God, and you're a part where you belong. And
I know it's just going to get better.
It's just going to get better and better. Right. Because God is just doing such a mighty work and bringing people in. We had new people again today, and that's real exciting, mm-hmm. you know? Especially when they don't just get up and leave right away, you know? They stay for the whole service. That's just truly amazing. So anyway, Pastor Jim, woo! Mm. Isn't it good to be doing what God has called us to do?
It's a whole lot better than spinning your wheels not doing what God wants you to do. I just read yesterday in Deuteronomy, under the curses in Deuteronomy 28,
right?
If you're not doing what God wants you to do, in the morning you're going to say, I wish it was evening. In the evening you're going to say, I wish it was morning.
Right.
And Deuteronomy 28 says you're just not going to find any rest.
Yes.
And
good point.
It's so much better to find that rest,
right,
and just do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
I mean, yeah, in the flesh it can be scary. It can
right.
be. I just know he's going to send me off to Africa to live in a mud hut.
He doesn't send that many people to Africa, actually.
No, just to Central America.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But even if he does, if you're doing God's will,
right,
he's
then it's okay.
Be there with you in the midst of it.
Amen.
And
amen.
Better to be in the center of God's will than out wandering around blind.
Absolutely. Growing up as a missionary's kid in Central America, we did live in a mud hut. And it was. The walls were mud. And they had a coating of whitewash over them to make them look less muddy. And, this roof was just like, you know, whatever it is that they use there. And it was very primitive, but it was so wonderful to know that you were right where God wanted you. Mm-hmm. And I loved that house made of mud, adobe. It was incredible. Bill, are we getting a video stream or not? We are? We're on video. All right. So, anyway, we're so glad you've joined us today. We got a lot to talk about on Living the Good Life. We look forward to this broadcast every single week. I am so blessed to have such a wonderful radio team, and it's growing. Our radio team is so cool. And, Shell, you've just been with us a few months now, but are you fun? Are you having fun?
She's fun.
She's fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I just know that... I just always pray that God helps me to respond in the right way, or that I'm making a difference.
Amen.
And I'm just
and
happy
yes, you
to
are.
Be here and humbled that you asked me.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, you know, we don't plan this to our listening audience. We have a general idea with the theme of where we're headed, but that's about as far as we know. And it's just amazing because the Holy Spirit always leads us and guides us. We welcome you. If you'd like to comment today during the show, we welcome you to email us. And it will be right up here on Pastor Jim's screen. And it is my email address, which I'm going to give it to you, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So it'll come directly to the screen right here. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions. If you want to throw something in during the show, we want to know. So pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And our first song is by a group called Big Daddy Weave, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. But we never
Church. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries today, and we are glad you are joining us either now or later on our website, because you can hear all of the last year and a half or so radio shows on our website in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you're sitting in your pajamas. It's a good time to go to beaconofhopeministries.com and catch up on some of the old radio shows. Trust and Obey, great old song. We're talking about Elisha today. Let's go to our Bibles and we're going to start out talking about Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2. Got to give you a little background, because Elisha was the prophet who came after Elijah. And I like to help people learn how to memorize who came first. And J came before S in the alphabet. And that's how I've always remembered it. And also, so that's Elijah. And he was the mentor of Elisha. And so Elisha was the prophet that came after Elijah. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about how God took Elijah up to heaven in a fiery chariot. Pastor Jim, he did not die.
No, he was one of two people in Scripture that did not die before they went to heaven.
Exactly. And a lot of people feel in the book of Revelation that those two guys are the ones coming back, two are the two witnesses. And so, praise God, Elijah was just caught up into heaven, and he's up there. And also, interesting, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the story in, I think, Matthew, where Peter, Paul, Mary, I sort of say. It's not that true at trio.
Peter, James, and John?
Yeah, maybe that's the group I'm thinking about instead of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Well, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration the night that Jesus went up there to pray. And they sleepily fell asleep, of course. And they're rubbing their sleepy eyes. And they look up, and there's these guys standing there talking to Jesus. Came down from heaven. And they were
Moses and Elijah.
And they were just standing there having this conversation like it was perfectly normal for Moses and Elijah to be standing there talking to Jesus. Well,
was pretty normal, because he'd been talking to him for 1,000 years already. So
there you go. Because Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. Jesus is God, all of that. So he had been communing with Elijah and Moses. So interesting, we find that Elijah went on up into heaven. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'm just going to give you a little background. In 2 Kings chapter 2, earlier in this very chapter, when we're talking about God taking Elijah up in a whirlwind, it's interesting that Elisha followed Elijah through every little place they went in that journey to get to the Jordan River. The Jordan River is always symbolic of death, and when you cross it, new life. Okay? So here, the whole goal that day was to go from one location to another, which that's another sermon, and we did do that a couple weeks ago, so go back in our radio shows a couple weeks ago and you'll find it. But here they are. They get to the Jordan River in the beginning part of 2 Kings 2. And Elisha, the understudy of the prophet, says, "I want a double portion of your anointing, Elijah." Now, the anointing is that presence of God that absolutely, you know it when you have it and you know it when you don't. And the anointing causes you to be able to move in strength and power and verbal ability that you can't do when the anointing's not there.
Right.
I know when I have it, I know when I'm struggling to find it. And boy, it was there today. Was it not, Shel?
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. Are you, is that a kind of a new term to you, the anointing, when you started coming to Beacon? I mean, had you heard that term before? Because there's probably people in our listening audience right now, Shell, that are going, what is that? And I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to define it a little more clearly in just a moment.
The first time, to be honest with you, that I heard anointed, I was talking to Jeannie, and she was referring to you and said, I truly believe that Pastor Marcia was anointed.
Okay.
And then she explained that, you know, that's a good thing. And it's
kind of scary at first, though, probably for you, right?
But I understood what she meant without her really explaining, and I believed it, too, your sincerity.
How did you notice it if you had never experienced it? Did you just notice something was different?
It's just a sense you have.
Okay.
I've always been pretty good at reading people.
Okay.
And you actually feel it.
Right.
You know, even if you're just observing and not actually being a participator of it.
But you can just feel it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Elisha felt in Elijah, which caused him to leave his plow behind and the ranch of his family and get on board with Elijah. Pastor Jim, do you like to comment on that? It's raining. My gosh, cats and dogs. I just saw a cat fly right over there. No, no, it's raining cats and dogs all of a sudden just absolutely coming out of heaven. Praise God. But that's, rain is symbolic of the mighty move of the Holy Spirit, too. So it is absolutely deluging. Whatever. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the anointing of God rested on Elijah. And the word itself, you find it throughout the Bible. And it usually means to, when you anoint somebody, you're pouring, not just smearing, but pouring oil on their head to set them apart and to empower them for some sort of service, whether it's to be the king or to be a prophet or whatever,
right?
You're empowering that person to and setting them apart for a particular office.
Right.
And that's, you know, under the new covenant, that happens on the inside.
Amen.
You know, we do still anoint people with oil.
Right.
You know, like from James chapter 5 for healing and all that and for setting people apart. But the work now, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, just doesn't come upon us, but dwells within us, the anointing is when that Spirit rises up in power within us.
Yes.
To move in a particular way.
Like right.
Today it was to move in prophecy.
Right.
You know, today the anointing really moved in prophecy. Some Sunday services it's moved in healing.
Right.
Others, it's just moved in peace.
Right, right.
You know?
So it's a special unction, special something that hits us and happens.
I won't even say a special outpouring because the Spirit dwells within us. So
Amen.
It's kind of a special overflow.
Overflow. And the word actually says to rub in, you know, to rub on. And in Psalm 23, when David said about his sheep, you know, that, you know, and he's talking about the Lord is my shepherd and all that. And then he goes, and you, O Lord, anoint me with oil. Yeah. And so the shepherd would anoint the sheep with oil. And actually, he would put an ointment up their nose, wouldn't he? And you've never heard that?
No.
Really?
No.
Seriously, in commentaries, I've read this, where there was a special ointment a lot of times that would be around their nostrils because the flies,
it keeps the flies off,
would leave that. And the fly is always symbolic of the devil, you know. And so the devil comes and tries to put all kinds of crazy thoughts in our minds, but the anointing breaks those thoughts.
See, you didn't know this was going to be a lesson in agriculture, didn't
agriculture, you, Shell? It's all about sheep and stuff. All right, let's look at 2 Kings 2, and let's look at verse 19. One day, the men of the city said to Elisha, "You can see for yourself, master, how well our city is located." Okay? Now, this is pretty cool. The men come to Elisha, the prophet. Now, he's the successor of Elijah. And they say, you know, we've got a great city. It's really nice. It's located in a nice place. But we have a problem. And Shel, you want to read the rest of that verse? Just read the whole verse 19, and then we're going to talk about it.
We're on 2.
Yeah.
219.
219, yeah.
Okay. The men of Jericho spoke to Elisha. "Look," they said, "this town has a good location. You can see that for yourself. But the spring of water here is bad, so the land doesn't produce anything."
Okay. Water all through the word is symbolic of the word of God. Water is symbolic of the word. Water is also symbolic of the Holy Spirit that wells up within us, like we were talking. Now, these people had a problem. Sometimes, guys, we have a problem in our natural realm, and that's what was going on here. They had polluted water, and therefore nothing would grow. From your agricultural days, Shel?
Oh, I don't have a green thumb.
So, but you know water is needed for a plant to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. So you do. You got that agricultural knowledge there that you need water in order to have. Okay, and this water, there was something wrong with the water, you know? And it said, so nothing's growing because we don't have any water. Tell me, if you go through life, you're never a part of the Word of God, which is water, okay? And you're never, like, learning it, understanding it, sitting under anointed teaching, what happens? You want to comment on that? What is your life like without water, physically and spiritually?
You wither up. You know, I look at the Bible as water.
Right.
And if you go without it, you start just getting more distant, and
right.
The communication with the Lord and the Spirit just dries up within you.
It does, doesn't it?
You have to keep going back to it.
You got to have it. Because, you know, our physical bodies, mm-hmm. you know, you understand all that. Why is water necessary for our physical bodies?
I'm an English teacher.
Oh, yeah, you're an English teacher, aren't you? Yeah.
Well, I think does it make up 90% of our tissues?
I was going to say, you're in the school of nursing, so I figure you're teaching English in the school of nursing, but surely. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? 90-something.
Mm-hmm. If you go, a couple days without it, you just die.
Yeah. I think it's, what, 3 they say that you can't really go much beyond 3? But
depends on your age and your physical health, but
right.
We all, very few days.
Very few days. You got to have water,
mm-hmm.
okay? Spiritually, then, you just said you got to have the word. Ever been in a time in your life, Shel, where it wasn't that important to you, that like it is now?
I've used a lot of Bibles as coasters or paperweights.
Okay.
I'm guilty of sometimes leaving them in the car or, I know that I need it, and when I haven't had it in a while, I start getting thirsty.
Okay.
And just open it back up, and I find meaning in wherever it is, whatever page.
Wow.
It's random, but it applies to me.
But it applies to you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool how God does that?
Yeah.
Seriously, that he can take us right where we are, and he doesn't. Oh, does he ever sit you down and beat you up for not reading it? Before he gives you something precious in his word?
I've never really felt beaten down.
Okay.
I think that the door is always open. In fact, I always feel guilty and apologize to him for shutting the door because I know he's always there, you know, waiting for me.
Exactly.
So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. So when you're saying that God in his mercy, let me see if I'm getting this right. God in his mercy, no matter whether you have strayed a little bit from your consistent Bible reading or whether or not you've taken a long break, when you open it and ask God to speak to you, he does.
Definitely.
That's too cool. What does that say about God? Pastor Jim, what do you want to comment on that?
It is cool. And yeah, and I look at this particular passage, and there's so much with Elisha, and you know, just, and I knew you're going to get to what he does with this nasty old spring, but imagine if living here, if the Gulf suddenly just, I mean, we thought it was bad with the oil spill, but imagine if it
red tide
nasty.
Have you ever been around? If you guys have been around here when we've had red tide really bad a few years back, where fish come and they just die. They're on the beach and it's the stinkiest, awfulest mess you ever saw.
Yeah, I mean, think about how that would affect the entire Gulf Coast mm-hmm. if something like this happened.
Like the oil spill last year,
right?
Yeah.
And here, and we're talking about Jericho, but that one spring was all they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could trudge all the way over to the Jordan to get their water, but that was an awfully long walk,
mm-hmm.
just and especially coming back carrying buckets of water. So they really needed help because this polluted spring was just, you know, keeping their entire land from being fertile.
Right.
And in Scripture, it's in Jeremiah, it talks about, you know, you've dug wells for yourself, polluted springs. That's always like something, you know, it's always has to do with idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho was in the northern kingdom, which was entrenched in idolatry. That's what Elijah fought against all that time.
Right.
And we see Elisha will, too, if you continue reading in 2 Kings. So I think it was also symbolic of them trying to do things on their own. This polluted well was symbolic of us trying to do things on our own.
Good point. Which really ties back into the song that we just did, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
But to trust and obey.
So we get to these points in our lives where we have a bad situation, and the people of Jericho had a very bad situation mm-hmm. right here where their stream was polluted and they had no pure water. I mean, we live in a day and age that this is common just to see bottles of water everywhere, but I mean, I've lived long enough to remember when they first had a bottle of water. This has not been something that we have always done. You know, people used to just get water right out of the tap,
right.
You know, and we still can do that. But my point being, when we totally trust God in whatever situation, in this case, they had polluted water, and they were coming to Elisha, the man of God, and saying, help, we've got a big problem here, okay? And that song that we just did, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. When we find out that we need God in a situation, all he's asking us to do is trust him mm-hmm. and obey him. Shell, you want to comment on trust and obey? Because that's a cool theme, you know?
Well, when you don't trust and obey, and you try to do things your own way.
Ooh, that's like a poem, right?
It leads you astray.
It leads you. She's a poet and doesn't know it.
I just, I've always, growing up, thought I've been stubborn. I don't need anybody. I'm independent. And, you know, what is it in Proverbs? I think it's in Proverbs where God talks about your body being a temple.
In different places. It's referenced in Proverbs. Yeah. It's also in 1st, 2nd Corinthians, that kind of thing, that your body's a temple. Yeah,
and, you know, I've at times just wanted to self-medicate and didn't rely on God and just relied on my own methods, and it never worked. It just leads you down a dead end.
It does.
You know, so I did quit smoking again.
Praise God. Listen to you, girl. I'm proud of you.
What's helped me is thinking that I know God wants me to stop smoking, just like he wanted me to stop drinking. Moderation, and my life just, I feel better physically.
Yes.
Mentally, and, you know, your confidence goes up. And the more you overcome, the more strength you have to overcome what's, you know, in the future going to be thrown at you, another curveball, like you're prepared, you know.
Well, I think this is interesting because you brought up the alcohol issue, and that is this story can be related to that issue, that so often our surroundings are so difficult, we don't know how to fix it. You know, and the people of Jericho, they were coming to Elisha and they were saying, we got bad water and we don't know how to fix it. And go ahead, Pastor Jim, you wanted to comment on that, because that's a good point, Shaw.
Well, and it just hit me in Exodus chapter 15. Moses did the same thing.
With the water.
The waters were called Marah.
Right.
Bitter.
Bitter, yeah.
And he threw a branch in.
Yes, Yes.
Same thing as Elisha. And I think it parallels, you know, here's Elisha's, you know, this kind of connects Elisha with Moses, which
right.
people are going to look at him then and say, ooh, okay, God really is working through this guy.
Right.
You know, they already recognized when he crossed the Jordan on dry land, the prophet said, look, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.
Yes.
Well, now it's like this parallel thing with Moses, but it's really cool because in the passage in Exodus, that's where God reveals one of his covenant names.
Yeah.
You know, I am the Lord that heals you.
Yes.
And God was manifesting that same name here.
Healing right
here. He healed the water.
He
healed that land.
And taking that a step to a personal note, Shell, because you brought it up, when you came to a point that you realized, okay, wait a minute, this isn't working for me in my life. This was a while back in your life, a couple years ago, but you came to a point where you began to realize, wait a minute, the water's bitter, so to speak, mm-hmm. metaphorically. You know, it's not working. My life's not working like this. Do you want to comment on that? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but hey, let's put you on the spot.
Yeah, you know, I was a complete mess, and it's because I made a mess of my life, trying to handle it without God and without direction, and I thought I knew better than anybody else what kind of decisions I should make for me. And I didn't put trust in anyone around me or in God. I left, you know, the scene for a long time. I didn't open up the Bible for a long time. But when I started to come back slowly but surely, and it's taken some time, but I'm a lot different person
yeah.
than I was years ago. And I just thirst for more.
Amen. So you got to a point you realized, okay, the water's bitter here where I'm at. The way I'm living, the way I'm thinking, stinking mm-hmm. thinking, the way I'm behaving, it's not getting me anywhere, and I'm not happy. You weren't happy.
Slowly dying. The inside out.
And actually, literally, you were from the alcohol, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were in a bad shape, and you're a young woman.
Told I had to quit or I would die,
yes.
inevitably.
So yes.
It was a matter of stop. But, I mean, it wasn't the only area of my life where I needed improvement. I just needed an overhaul.
Yeah. Praise God.
God's good at that.
Isn't he great? But mm-hmm. when we realize we need an overhaul, because there's probably people listening right now go, I can relate to her, you know, because substance abuse is a huge problem in this nation and around the world now.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And it has been for my daughter, which a lot of you know, the book that I wrote last year, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. And it's kind of exciting. We will be having her on the show pretty soon. And Lori got out of prison last Monday morning. And that's, wait a minute. Boing, boing, boing. My little bell. I got to use my bell. That is just huge what God has done in my daughter and 20 months in prison and what the ministry that has developed through her and what God is doing still now that she's on the outside and all the stuff that's going on. We'll tell you about that another time. But, Shell, it's so exciting to me to see that you came to a point in your life where you realized the water's bitter over here. It's not what it needs to be. Okay, I got to get to God. And that's what you began to do. And it took baby steps at first, didn't it?
Yeah, it took baby steps. And it took going to about 20 different churches. And then that's why, going back to the anointed part, when I recognized you were anointed, I knew you wouldn't lead me astray.
Praise God.
You would lead me down the path I needed to go.
Praise God.
So, all of you, you know. But,
yeah
I've been reading the Bible. I know I should probably read it more, but I'm healing in all sorts of ways and feel better now and healthier now than I've ever been. And I'm approaching over the hill.
Yeah.
That's all right. But I don't care.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, you still got a little ways to go. You're not quite there. Well, Pastor Jim, tell us what Elisha. Now, this goes back to the trust and obey. Now, of course, Connie had no idea what we were doing on the show, and I just give her a general idea about Harvest Hands, and then she starts us with that song, Trust and Obey, because she's our musical director for the show. So she just waits on the Lord. Now, God knew this, our conversation. And again, we don't plan. And I want to keep making that point to our radio audience so they know we don't have a script. We don't have notes. We just have when the songs are coming in. That's it. We don't have anything else, and we just let the Holy Spirit lead. So, Pastor Jim, tie in what Shell has just shared so profoundly here and so openly, and I'm very proud of you. And what she has just shared here with what Elisha did about the bitter water. And if you're just now joining us, we're in 2 Kings 2, verses 19 through 22. Go ahead.
Well, I might say he did something kind of silly.
Yes.
Because the Lord told him to get a new bowl.
Right.
And put some salt in it. And go out and put salt in the water.
Right.
Now, who likes salt water? But
right.
But you know, he did it, and you know, he got a word from the Lord when he did it. Said, "Thus says the Lord, I purify these waters. And there shall not be from there death or unfruitfulness any longer."
Right.
But just a handful of salt.
Right.
Now, that took some trusting.
Oh,
I mean, Elisha had to believe, you know, what God said. You know, I'm sure God said, remember what I did with a branch?
Right.
You know, and here I'm just asking you to throw a little salt in.
And but to a casual bystander, that probably looked pretty darn
really,
stupid.
Really odd.
A little tiny bowl of salt, and that's going to change the water system for the entire city of Jericho? Really? Come on, really?
Well, it's no different than making mud with spit and putting it on a man's eyes and go telling him to wash him off, and then he gets healed.
Remember when Jesus did
Jesus
that?
Jesus did that.
Sure he did. Right.
It's no different than laying people out so that Peter's shadow can go over them and they get healed.
Exactly.
You know, we have a wonderfully creative God.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
And he just works in all these different ways. And
he
I
does.
Think sometimes he may ask us to do something a little different.
Yes.
To see if we do trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he asked Abraham
yeah.
to give up Isaac.
Right.
He asked Isaiah to run around naked for 3 years. He made Ezekiel lay on.
Now that's a little weird.
He made Ezekiel lay on his side and
yes.
eat this weird kind of bread for a long time.
And Jeremiah was put down a great big well.
Yeah. I mean,
and amazing stuff
yeah,
like that.
And
symbolically.
Right. Sometimes, yeah, all of it was symbolic.
Right.
And so, and I believe so was this. You mentioned it this morning. Salt was an important part of the covenant.
Right.
And salt back then was as good as gold.
I was going to say it was a commodity, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, because
it was like a rate of exchange. I never brought that in today,
right.
But that is really a good point.
I mean,
that's
salt,
good.
Salt was, you know, it was rare.
Yeah.
And it was very important because that's how you cure your meats. Because
right.
they didn't have refrigeration, so that's how you kept your meat from spoiling.
It's a preservative.
You salted it and
yeah.
all that. And so in faith, Elisha took this little bowl of salt, tossed it into the water. The water became whole,
yes.
basically. It became sweet, and the land could once again become fruitful.
Which, isn't that interesting? Back to things you were just sharing, Shell. Sometimes God has us do things that seem strange, seem kind of out there, you know? And it's that trust and obey thing, you know? I will just say that when you came to Beacon of Hope, that was shortly after the truck had run through our church building. And so we were meeting in that kind of smelly, moldy hotel room. But grateful that we had any place, you know. And, you know, I'd been carrying around all of our stuff in the back of my truck. You know, my picture of Jesus and, you know, the little tiny boom box and all those things. And then we suddenly had, remember that little closet in the hotel room? And we thought we'd died and gone to heaven, that we just had a little place now where we could put our stuff. You know, it was like, wow, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was before we began to reach out and believe God for the praise band to get our instruments and all of our stuff out of storage. And all of those changes that have occurred in the last 2 or 3 years are just huge because each was a step. It was a step of trust and obey. Trust and obey. Do you want to comment on that?
I just, instinctually when we first came to Beacon of Hope, and you saw it's in a hotel room, really? and then we heard the story about how the truck had plowed through the last building.
Yeah.
But for, you know, weeks and months, you know, it was difficult seeing a church struggling. But at the same time, it was inspiring because I don't think you have to have a fancy
you
building
don't.
With ornate architecture and stained glass windows.
Right.
And, you know, gold embroidered
right.
robes to wear and things like that. I don't think it has to be like that. It's simple. You know,
that's
Jesus,
right.
when he preached, it was out on a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think you need people to come mm-hmm. together and hear the word, and you've got a church, you know.
Amen.
And we're more comfortable now, and that's how God wants us to be. But you putting your trust in him and the rest of us believing that the church would survive
right.
in spite of financial difficulties or not knowing, you know, where our next place would be.
Right.
It's all turned out okay.
Right.
You know?
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But again, it's trusting and obedience, mm-hmm. you know, and leading. Let God lead us and go with where he has us. Oh, Bill, let's do this song. I've not heard it. It's brand new. You Are Love.
Here in this place of worship, you draw me close again. All of my weaknesses laid here, you cover them all in your strength. Here in your holy presence, my heart draws close to you. This altar is built out of broken, and you come and breathe.
Praise God. Whew. God loves us so much.
Amen.
You know, even when we mess up big time, you know, when there's areas in our lives that we're just going, golly, I got to work on that, you know? And he just comes, he has a way of throwing the salt of his presence, you know, throw it into the bitterness of our lives and helping us see where we've made mistakes and what we can do. And I tell you, there's something that's going on around Beacon of Hope besides it being a brand new day. And people are excited to come to church, and that is so exciting to see what God is doing. But there is forgiveness flowing. Forgiveness is flowing like a river for ourselves, for you know, guys out there in radio land, there's times you need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself for the way you haven't been doing this or that or haven't been measuring up maybe to your own expectations. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we need to forgive God for some of the things that we think he's let us down. But But in particular, I think a lot of times we need to forgive others who hurt us and offend us. And let's go to Matthew chapter 5 because we're talking about salt. And we were just in 2 Kings 2, starting with verse 19. If you missed the first part of the show, you can go back and hear it on our website at a later time. But let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and let's see what Jesus is saying here. Because Matthew 5, the beginning several verses are called the Beatitudes, you know. In other words, be this attitude. In other words, be sweet, kind, and lovely, like my dad always said when we were growing up. In fact, he said it like this, sweet, kind, and lovely be. That's how he said it. So, and so that the Beatitudes are kind of a way to behave and a way to explain things that happen to us in our lives. And I like, let's start with verse 10. Shall I want you to read 10 through 12, and we're going to talk about it. This is the words of Jesus as it relates to the story we just talked about in 2 Kings 2. Go ahead.
Blessed are you when people make fun of you and hurt you because of me. You are also blessed when they tell all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be joyful and glad. Your reward in heaven is great. In the same way, people hurt the prophets who lived long ago.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Pastor Jim, you've got New American Standard. Let's hear it, New American Standard, 10 to 12.
Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Amazing. Jesus is saying to us we should be happy about problems in our lives. I love what Graham Cook says in one of his CDs about problems. He said you should celebrate when you have a problem because the only way to grow your faith is to have a problem. So if you want increased faith, then when the problems come, you go, this is according to Graham Cook, yahoo, I got a problem. And he said you can even call a couple friends and go, guess what? I've got a problem, and they're going to go, we're so jealous of you. Now, those are Graham Cook's words. So I don't know, Shell, I've never heard you call me and go, I got a problem, yahoo. But that's the attitude that Jesus is saying here, that when you're persecuted, when you're beat up verbally, let's say, and you feel like you got somebody in your life that's speaking negative junk to you all the time and it hurts you, that instead of getting so bent out of shape, Jesus is saying, yeah, you should rejoice about that. It's kind of hard to do. Pastor Jim, help us here.
The summer after I became a Christian, back even before disco had started,
Just
tells you how long ago that was.
Before disco.
Just prior to the disco.
And by the way, Pastor Jim can sure dance disco style.
You bet I can.
He sure can.
Shake it, baby.
I was in college, and I'd come home for the summer, and I had a summer job with the water department in my hometown.
Ah. It's interesting how that parallels what we're talking about today.
Well, and even more with these verses.
Okay.
There was a guy there, and his dad was an optometrist, so I knew the family. This guy was a year older than me, and I'd gone to high school with him and all that. And I know now he was probably possessed or under the influence of a demon, but we had to work together. And once he found out I was Christian, I had to put I seriously had to put these verses into practice, because there was one point where he actually clamped vice grips on my back because I was Christian.
Oh my!
You all know what you know. I mean, they clamped him.
I just hate that when that happens, don't you?
I'm just kidding.
I mean, it really hurt.
Oh, that could have smarted.
And you know, and I never since then have I been persecuted like that for my faith.
And you're staying away from vice grips too,
I'm
right?
They don't bother me anymore.
They don't bother you now. You don't see them coming and get running.
Right.
No, okay.
But I learned to put these verses into practice.
Right.
I had to, because otherwise I just would have buckled.
Right.
And
yeah.
What I found was, you know, there's a reason Jesus says blessed, happy, to be envied, to quote the Amplified Bible, are you when you're persecuted? Because, you know, we find out later he told Peter to write, the spirit of glory, grace and glory rests upon you. And that's why you can rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Elisha, people probably thought he was nuts.
Right.
Tossing some salt into this well.
And don't you find it fascinating that a few thousand years later, was it a couple thousand probably from Elisha?
About 900.
All right. 1,000 years later, Jesus remembers that incident. Of course he remembers it. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things. He's omnipotent and he's omniscient, which means he is all wise and knows everything. So he is doing this little teaching on what our attitudes should become. And he says, oh, by the way, let me tell you why you're here. Mm-hmm. Let's all look at verse 13. In the Message Bible, Jesus said, oh, let me tell you why you're here. Now, I like this because Jesus is getting right down on our level and saying, okay, you know, you got a purpose here on this earth. Maybe you hadn't figured it out yet, so let me just spell it out for you. Let me tell you why you're here. Dear listener and Radio Land, there is a reason for your life. There is a purpose that you are here on this earth right now at this given time. There's also a purpose for you listening to these words right now. You're to be, here's what Jesus says in verse 13, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Now let's read that in our other translations. So let's read verse 13, Shell, and then Pastor Jim.
You are the salt of the earth, but suppose the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything. It will be thrown out. People will walk all over it.
Hmm. Interesting. Pastor Jim, New American Standard.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men.
When I was reading a commentary, my Dake's commentary, I think it was, yesterday about salt, it said that when salt is fresh and it's being used for the right purpose, it's a preservative, like we were talking about. It also is a flavor enhancer. But you take salt and you lay it out in the sun on the beach, or you take salt and you let rain just douse it, you know, and just have a big old rainstorm like we did a few minutes ago here. If you have a whole bunch of salt laying outside and in that deluge of rain that we just had here in Clearwater happens, what happens to the effectiveness of the salt? What happens? There's a chemical reaction that happens.
Well, it's going to dissolve.
It's going to lose its effectiveness, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a chemical, being a chemistry teacher, there is a chemical reaction that takes place, and the sodium chloride, the NaCl, you know, combines with the water molecules, let's say, the H2O, and everything trades off, and you have a chemical reaction. And things like this, in other words, spiritually, when we have lost our salt and we're not walking around being the salt of the earth. And instead, we're walking around being kind of nasty and mean and ugly and not lovely and not kind and not sweet. When that happens,
we're good for nothing.
We are good for nothing. Let's apply that to our everyday lives in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk more about that. Let's go on to verse 14. We're going to explain that whole concept in just a few minutes. But let's finish up 14 through 16 and see what else Jesus has to say about this topic. Shell, let's read 14, 15, and 16, if you will, in your translation.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Also, people do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Then it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of others. Then they will see the good things you do, and they will praise your Father who is in heaven.
Oh, praise God. Pastor Jim?
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Oh, how many times have you ever flown into a city at night? Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, isn't it? You know, when you're flying in, it doesn't matter if you've been above the clouds at 30,000 feet. When you come through the clouds, and even if it's raining, you're going to see the light. And this is what Jesus was saying. It doesn't matter how stormy it is up there in the heavenlies. Light, it's just going to, you're going to see it. You're going to see a city set on a hill. You're going to see those lights. Oh, my. People, watch us. They can't help but do that.
Right. Well, let's hope they are seeing. Let's pray that they are seeing our good works.
Exactly. Because a lot of times they probably see things that we wish they didn't in our behavior and our attitudes. We're going to talk more about that in our second hour. We're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's an exciting day. God is doing a wonderful thing. If you have a prayer need today, you can write our 24-hour-a-day prayer line. It is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Anytime, for anyone, that prayer line is open. Shell, have we seen some mighty things through the prayer ministry the last 3 years?
Lots of miracles.
Oh, a lot of miracles.
A lot of answered prayers.
And you're one that's on the prayer team and you get those emails. What does it do to you when you see something come across on email? I mean,
yeah. I pray right there when I open it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at it as like, you know, it's just me, but I know there's other people out there praying along with
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
And I've seen many of those prayers answered.
Absolutely. Major, major things. So, and it's exciting to be a part of that. And if you are out there connected to a different church or ministry, that's fine. You can still be a part of our Beacon of Hope prayer team that answers requests from around the globe. Pastor Jim, what has that done for you? In fact, you're one of those on the... you and Alice, and you are the ones who are usually writing the prayer mm-hmm. that goes with the request.
Right.
And tell our listening audience why you do that.
Because God answers those prayers.
Amen.
I mean, we had a lot of prayers answered this morning at church.
We sure did. We sure did.
And, you know, just to see God move. And I believe that answered prayer gives people hope.
Exactly.
Because you can see that God is still intervening in people's lives.
Amen.
Still moving in people's lives, still wanting the best for people's lives.
And don't you want to serve a God who hears your prayers?
Oh, amen.
And answers them and cares about what you're going through? Isn't that the kind of God you want to serve?
Amen.
Woo, we're going to talk more, and in just a moment, we have to do station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in Clearwater, Florida, and around the globe. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Beside me to my right is Shell. Lauren Gray.
Hello.
Uh-huh. And to my left is my wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. And we love you both so much. You're part of our radio team, which has expanded lately and includes some new people, mm-hmm. like Nan over there in the corner, sitting there right now taking
and
notes.
And she wrote me a great poem.
She did.
Thank you, Lord, ooh. For
ooh.
Nan.
Ooh. And Bill, is God just not doing great things? We love our engineer, Bill. And wow, God's moving in you, brother.
He's moving in me, but sometimes I'm a running away.
Woo! And that makes you human.
Thank you.
Yes, that makes you human.
How's your book doing?
Actually, we're excited. We got to send a whole boatload of them back up to Indiana right now. So there's a lot of good things going on, and we're sending some of the other two books. You can go to our website, beaconfolkministries.com, find the books. You can order them on Amazon, but they're cheaper through us. And so we pay for the shipping and handling, and you can actually go to my website that's been set up for the books, MarciaMcAllister.com. And you can order that way or through Beacon of Hope Ministries, either way. So we have a publishing branch of Beacon of Hope, and hopefully that publishing branch, Beacon of Hope Publishing, will someday publish a book of poems, Nan. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And there'll be some other things come down the pike from Beacon of Hope Publishing soon. So Pastor Jim, God is doing a mighty work in all of us. And it is exciting to see that we're just a ragtag, and I say ragtag because we're a very eclectic group mm-hmm. of people, aren't we? We're very diverse.
Yes.
Diverse ethnically. Is that the correct word?
Yes.
Diverse in sexual orientation. Some are gay. Some are straight. Some are purple and some are green. And
well, I think we're eclectic, too, because we have so many people from so many different Christian backgrounds.
Exactly. Isn't that true?
Former Catholics, Lutherans,
yeah.
Baptists, Charismatics.
Yes.
We just kind of have a
Methodists,
little bit of Methodists.
Yes. I mean,
we just have a little bit of everybody.
We really do. As several Catholics. Yeah, we really do. It's just kind of exciting to see the group that God has put together and the family that it is. I don't know about you, Shell, but I know last year when we did get our building where we are now at 3700 Almerton, and Pastor Jim and you and Diana and Mark, and there were several of us, a whole group of us, Michelle Cardinal, mm-hmm. a bunch of us had to build out that place because it was just walls and cement floors. And to see the paint go on, and by the way, she wouldn't let anybody do those up corners, you know, clear at the top, because she was the she was the paint artist, you know, clear up there, getting it all right.
That's Shell's ministry.
That is Shell. That's one of her ministries.
She's your Michelangelo.
I hope that's part
she
of
is
it.
Our Michelangelo. Yeah, she was very good at details, you know. Some of us, and when I paint, you know, that's it.
Diana.
Yeah.
Like Zorro.
Yeah, kind of like Zorro. Yeah, yeah. And but, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, we sang a song that Nathan wrote this morning. We are the body of Christ, his hands healing, his love reaching. He wrote that a few years ago in one of our services. And honestly, that's what it's all about. You got an email to read?
Well, it's from Connie.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What'd she say? She's talking about Bill.
Uh-huh. She's talking about Bill.
Yes, we found out last week on our show that Bill used to be the traffic boy on Joy FM, and he was then called
Elroy the traffic boy.
Is that
That's
not a
just
hoot?
Too cute. And so on Joy FM, he was Elroy the traffic boy. So that's his real name. Bill is his alias. Alrighty then. So anyway, but you know what? That's the kind of fun that we have around Beacon of Hope, don't we, Pastor Jim? Don't you think it's a fun place to hang out?
Yeah, very fun.
Wednesday night, Shell, I want you to tell us what happens on Wednesday night. Tell our listening audience, because I know you have a good time, and you amaze me, Shell, because sometimes she comes up with crossword puzzles. She comes up with little word games of the topic that we're discussing right then, and it really is a great teaching tool. But go ahead. Tell us what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope.
On Wednesday night, if you come at 6, prayer service starts,
mm-hmm.
And for like an hour, you get prayer.
Yeah.
And at 7 o'clock, we start Bible study. And anyone's welcome to come. It's usually a good turnout. And we talk about the Word. And sometimes we have debate. Mm-hmm. And a lot of enlightenment. And we have Pastor Jim, the scholar. And
that's right, we do.
Pastor Marcia, who breaks it down for us. And once in a while, I'll try to come up with some puzzles to make it even simpler. Because
they're
doing
wonderful
that,
puzzles.
They are wonderful
doing
puzzles.
That helps me learn,
yeah.
though.
It's great.
You know, I do that on purpose.
No, it's yeah. great. It's a great tool. And the whole goal is a free-for-all. People don't have to hold up their hand. They can discuss. We
yeah,
set up the tables.
Have,
and
yeah, an open dialogue and give and take. And anyone's welcome to share their opinions. And you hear from, you get really get to know people
yeah.
on a more personal level.
Exactly. It's really good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. Wednesday nights at 7. We get done at 8:30, and then we have practice for the band after that, and they don't usually walk out till 9:45. So it's just a busy, long night.
That's how
but
good
it's
the
good.
Band is.
That's how good the band is.
I want to say practice, right?
Yeah, they do practice. They do, and they have fun. So anyway, that happens on Wednesday night. You're welcome if you're in the Tampa Bay area. If you're not in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit. And let us know when you're coming. We want to meet you. And we had new people again today mm-hmm. at church, and that was just a joy. And we love that. We are outgrowing our space, and we are believing God for the ministry facilities that more than meet the needs of the ministry.
Ministry God's called us to.
Amen. So some of you out there that listen to this radio broadcast regularly, if you will please begin to pray about that and for the expansion that God is doing. So it's exciting things, exciting days. We are so excited for what God is doing. Jeremy Camp, we love him the way.
All creation cries out. See you.
Praise God. Woo, Jesus. He is the way. Hallelujah. You're listening to Living the Good Life. Let's talk about salt and light, Shell and Pastor Jim. Jesus said here that in verse 11 of Matthew 5, that we should count ourselves blessed when people give us a hard time, persecute us, put us down. Why is that a blessing? Jill, why is that a blessing?
Well, I've never done somersaults and gotten excited when people make fun of me, but...
okay.
You know, what comes to mind is work, my coworkers. I have a lot of godless coworkers who are absolutely miserable.
Right.
But a few of them are friends, and I really feel sorry for them. But they don't get it. You know, they
right.
don't understand
exactly.
why I'm not as miserable as they are.
Right.
And they look at me and they're like, what are you laughing about or what are you joking about? And, you know, it's just negativity, negativity. It's all there is. And, you know, I try without sounding like I'm promoting Beacon too much or like I'm trying to tell them that, you know, that's necessarily the way for them. But I'm trying to recruit them, more or less.
Right.
You know,
sure.
The one is agnostic and the other one is atheist.
Right.
And I argue with them, but they shoot me down. But yet, you know, when they ask me, you know, how can you be positive? How can you go to church? How can you believe in a God who's let you down so many times in your life? Because I've shared experiences with them. And I said, God didn't do those things.
There you go. That's the whole thing right there.
You know, and without those things having happened to me,
amen.
Why would I need God?
Right.
You know,
right.
It was to build up my faith, to build up my strength and confidence. And I have more coping skills now.
Yes.
That I didn't have before. You know, but I'm going to continue trying to recruit them to come to church.
There you go. Keep it
because
up.
I think they'd be happier.
Yeah.
They have that void.
Right.
Not
they
happy.
Have a void.
They can't put their finger on it.
Yes.
They can't articulate what exactly it is. But it's because they're godless.
Yes.
You know?
What a great point. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing in your work situation is you're being salt and light. And you really are. I've been seeing last week, I saw, this was before God birthed this sermon into me, but it seemed like every time I was in traffic, I was behind an SUV or a car that had a little decal. Now I want to know where they are and I want one. But it says Salt Life. Have you all seen those? I don't know where you get that or what it's talking about. It could be talking about fishing in the Gulf. I don't know what it means. But what it means spiritually is that we are in a life here on this earth where we are to be salt in our situation. We are to be the flavor. We are to be what? Salt enhances food and it changes food. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that?
Well, I was going to talk a little
do whatever
about
you
the light.
Do.
Well, yeah, because back in Isaiah chapter 60,
mm-hmm.
Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness covers the earth.
Right.
And deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising."
Exactly.
And I think Jesus was kind of alluding to that, about being the light.
Mm-hmm.
Being the city set on the hill, the light on the lampstand is, you know, we talked earlier about the anointing. It comes from within. The glory of the Lord rises upon us.
Yes.
And then we do these works and we talk to people and people see us maybe praying for them or
right.
whatever.
Right.
God's glory rises upon us. Our light shines and people are attracted to that. You know,
they are. They don't even know what it is they're attracted to a
right.
lot of times.
I mean, some people may react like, you know, by persecuting you.
Yes.
But others are going to be drawn. It says nations will come to your life.
Yes.
And that is so cool because people will see God's life in us.
Amen.
And like Shell, like you said, you know, people are so miserable. They may want to know what you have, what's what's got into you?
Yeah.
You know, what's different?
What's wrong with you? What's different?
Yeah. Well, I was going to go there, but.
Yeah, but I mean, no. Why are you the way you are? You know? Yeah. Exactly. And God has said, Jesus said here, here's what you're to be. You're to be salt seasoning. And then he goes in verse 16, he goes, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. This is the Message Bible I'm reading from. And in verse 13, when he talked about salt, he said, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this world. So flavor and color. And I'm not a chef by any means, but I know that a plate of food that has various colors on it is attractive to somebody who sits down to eat, right? If everything is orange on your plate, it's kind of boring. Sweet potatoes, you know, all that, whatever it is. I mean, it's cool to have a green vegetable, to have... Am I making you hungry, Pastor
yes,
Jim?
Yes, you are, actually.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, the variety there, the God colors mm-hmm. in our... Well, then it goes the same with flavors. You know, the God flavors. You know, you don't want everything on your plate to taste like the other thing right beside it. You want there to be a change, a difference. Help me here on this.
Well, you know,
please.
God is so multifaceted. And, you know, this kind of goes back to something we've talked about before. We're all part of the body of Christ,
yes.
And each one of us has a different function.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us has different gifts.
Right.
Each one of us has a different place in that body. But without all of us, the body's incomplete.
Right.
And yet, I think that's, you know, the different flavors, the different colors. We all add something.
We sure do.
To that.
Look at Beacon of Hope, because there's such a variety, like we were saying earlier, in so many ways, not just in color. And body build or age or whatever those differences may be, but in the gifts and talents. Do you see that, Shell?
Yeah, everybody has something to bring to
yeah.
the table.
Yes.
And we're a motley crew, and we always have an interesting time with each other, to say the least.
Yes,
you know,
to say the
boring.
Least. It's never boring.
No.
It's for sheer entertainment value, right? Because we never know what God is going to do in a service.
Right.
Just like we don't know what he's going to do here in a radio show. But it's so cool to me. I mean, having had three children, you have one daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And having had three children, I've always said through my years that how could the same two parents produce three such different children? And my two sons and my daughter are all very different from each other. They are different combinations of their dad and I. You know, they really are. And it's like, you know, but it's the same parents, you know? And that's the way we are as children of God.
Mm.
We're so different. We've had different life experiences. You want to comment on that, Shell?
Oh, you just got me thinking about my own family.
Yeah.
And how very different my sister and brother are from me.
Right.
I was the middle kid.
Middle child syndrome, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother took off, and but he's more of a family man.
Yeah.
He's had children, and he settled in California. And my sister wasn't very career-oriented. She wanted to be a homemaker, and she was a great mom. But she's content doing that. And me, I was always more into adventure.
Right.
But, you know, we love each other.
Right.
But, yeah, very different personalities, like the personalities of our members.
And, exactly.
The faces of Christians. Like, you know, probably if we dressed up and just how we normally do, which... Well, we tend to dress up how we do at church. We don't come in suit and ties, most
yeah,
of us.
But we're business casual.
Yeah. If people looked at us, though, they might stereotype and say, that, well, they don't look like Christians.
Right.
Because
you know? We're more casual.
Through our actions and speaking to us, I think that they would see it then.
Exactly. So we are to be that salt and that light in the world where God has put us. And sometimes, Pastor Jim, that is pretty hard to want to be that salt and light, because where we are is a difficult place to be in some circumstances.
Well, if you're light, people are going to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no hiding.
Right.
City set on the hill. It's pretty obvious it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Salt, when you salt your food.
Right.
You taste it immediately.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if we're out there, it can be uncomfortable. I mean, if we're out there for God, it can be uncomfortable. And yet, again, going back to the Beatitudes, that's one of the things Jesus tells us, is you're blessed when you do these things.
Right.
And going back to our first song, trusting and obeying, when you trust God and obey, that's when you're really blessed.
Exactly.
And I'd rather take the blessing with the being out there and taking the risk of persecution and whatever than being out of God's will.
Exactly. Which God says, just rest. Let me do what needs to be done.
Oh,
wow.
What a segue.
What a segue by the group down here. Rest. God, come to me. Those are the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that was what was just in that new song. That's a new song by the group down here. And very good. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's talk about this salt and light in our everyday lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And Paul wrote these words, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Been teaching this the last few Wednesday nights. This week we're going to talk about evangelists, aren't we, Pastor Jim?
Yes, we are.
The calling of the evangelist and what that means. And Paul says here, live like you got a calling on your life. Everybody has a calling on their life. Everybody is called to be a part of something, be a part of a body of believers, called to be salt, called to be light. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Wow, that's the first three verses of Ephesians 4, and those are powerful. Let's hear those first three verses in yours, Shell, and then Pastor Jim can read his and comment.
I am a prisoner because of the Lord, so I'm asking you to live a life worthy of what God chose you for. Don't be proud at all. Be completely gentle. Be patient. Put up with one another in love.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit makes you one in every way, so try your best to remain as one. Let peace keep you together.
Oh, my. Those are profound words, don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's pretty like, here it is. Here's how you're to behave. You know, salt and light. This is salt and light 101 put into practice in our lives. Pastor Jim.
Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Oh, my. I love that. I love all three translations. But let's talk about how we do this, because we have been talking today on Living the Good Life about being the salt. We started in 2 Kings 2, we went to Matthew 5, and now here we are in Ephesians 4. We are talking about being the salt and light in our life circumstances, right where God has you. Bloom where you're planted. What does it mean? I love the fact that Jesus, through Paul, gives us some concrete, do this, don't do that. I mean, I kind of like that. Shell, you want to comment on that? And what do you see there that helps you?
Well, I used to be a pretty arrogant person, believe it or not.
Okay.
And then I went through a apprehensive and anxious phase.
Okay.
Because of all the experiences that I had gone through. But I've learned that, you know, you shouldn't be proud. You should be humble.
Right.
Because whatever you have or whatever place or station you are at in life, it can all be taken away.
Right.
So you're not supposed to be proud. Because you didn't really get yourself to where you are.
Absolutely.
You relied on God. And you should be gentle and patient with others.
Even if they don't deserve it?
Even if they don't deserve it. You just got to say, you know, what would Jesus do? How would he handle this
exactly.
situation or circumstance?
And they really do deserve your sweetness and your kindness. But, I mean, sometimes in our own being mad, you know, I'm not going to be nice to them because they're being mean to me, you know, type thing, you know.
Well, I've never been the type to hold grudges.
Okay.
I don't. I do get angry and stuff, but I've learned to be more patient because I used to be angry all the time.
Okay.
So I can empathize.
And what did that get you?
It got me nowhere.
It gave you an excuse to drink, probably.
Yeah, it did. You know, blaming, playing victim.
And, right.
Not taking responsibility and accountability for my own actions.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can be bitter. Most people, that's one thing I'm constantly working on, is not being cynical, negative, trying to find the positive.
Mm-hmm.
My partner's a very positive person.
That's cool. That's good.
So we even each other out.
Yeah.
But I just think that people who are bitter and angry, that they're hurting and that they need somebody who's patient.
You know. Hurt people, right?
Right, exactly.
Pastor Jim, comment on those verses. This is pretty good verses right here, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3.
Yep, they are. I like the fact that Paul says to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And so he leaves nobody out there. It's everybody has a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
It just, you know, even if it's as general a calling as just being a good Christian.
Right.
You know, everybody has a calling. And Paul says to walk worthy, and I'm going to tell you how to do it, he says. You know, being humble, gentle, being patient, showing tolerance for one another in love. Those are not easy things to be.
Sometimes they're not easy at all.
Right.
It's just very frustrating to have to be patient and kind to somebody who's taxing our every nerve, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But the key is in love.
In love, yes.
You know, I mean, that's one of the biggest keys is we can't do these things in and of ourselves.
Right.
But because we are in Jesus and he is in us, mm-hmm. we can do this. And I think it's interesting, too. It says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul took it for granted that believers would be unified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he took that for granted. He said it's not something you have to work toward. It's something you have to preserve.
Right.
So he took it that it already existed, and this is something that needed to be preserved, not worked, not a goal to work at.
So that's where salt comes in as a preserving mm-hmm. agent, right? So your part in that is to be the salt where you're preserving the bond of unity.
Right.
That's why the devil tries to throw troublemakers in churches. He always does. Because if he can get a little bit of pepper in there instead of the salt, if he can get a little bit of discord, I mean, just start with the discord. Somebody get mad at, let's say me, because it happens usually that it's me that they're mad at. And somebody gets mad, and then pretty soon five people are out to lunch and they're talking about, well, I didn't like the pastor did that, or I didn't like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I've heard you say that you've had some.
That's not current at Beacon of Hope now.
Yeah,
this is in the past.
I can't really relate because I haven't heard any bad things about you. And but you're going to, you know, people are going to disagree and understand. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you're the one who has to practice this more than perhaps anybody. Patience.
You know what? Maybe that's true.
Gentleness.
Maybe that's true in a way.
Kindness and your customers and work.
Yeah. You know. Right. Exactly. Some difficult people. Yes. You have to. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it's important too. It's the unity of the Spirit. It's not the unity of the flesh or the unity of doctrine or the unity of this or the unity of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unity of the Spirit.
Right.
Which goes beyond doctrine, which goes and the unity of the Spirit, if somebody disagrees, it's up to them to come to you to let you know.
Right.
You know, that's part of it. If I got an issue, I'm going to go to that person.
Right. That's scriptural.
Right.
Matthew chapter 18. That's the way you handle problems.
That's the way that you do it.
And in your own relationship, let's say with your partner, your husband, your wife, that is ideal. Communication is ideal.
Exactly.
Honey, here's how I felt when this happened,
mm-hmm.
you know? And instead, so often, we allow the devil to get in there and mix it up and make it worse instead of confronting it and dealing with
right.
it. But go ahead.
Well, and I just think, I look at this and I think, well, bond of peace. Yeah, okay, whatever. sometimes that can be so hard.
Whatever is not a Pastor Jim way to look at it. I'm telling you right
absolutely
now.
Absolutely not. But
that's
but,
right.
But I know having pastored a church in the past, the little things that passed as prayer meetings.
Right.
Let's get together and pray because Pastor Jim has that,
this
is going on, that's going on.
Right.
You know, and that's so destructive. And and one of the things Satan works so hard to destroy is our unity.
Amen. Yes.
You know, the psalmist said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It's like the oil flowing down from Aaron's head, down his beard to his robes. Oil, symbolic of
the anointing. Yes.
Aaron, symbolic, the high priest, symbolic of
Jesus
flowing from the head to the rest of the body. That's what unity does. The anointing flows in unity. And
Psalm 133, I think
it is. Yes, 133.
Yeah, love
and
that.
If we... That's why Paul saw it as so important to preserve the unity of the Spirit, because that way the anointing continues to flow. And that's why Satan...
Oh, that ties it in, doesn't it? Woo!
And that's why Satan likes to destroy that
unity. Yes, amen. Because he doesn't want the anointing.
No.
Because the anointing breaks the yokes in people's lives. And when we're in unity and we're loving each other, whether or not we agree with everything that is said by somebody, but we love each other anyway, we forgive each other, we're quick to forgive, then we don't give the devil a place to get in there and cause discord and disharmony.
Right. Well, and in the next verses, Paul goes on to say, he explains what this unity is.
Okay, go ahead.
There's one body.
Yes.
Okay? Just because, I mean, if you believe in Jesus, just because you go to the church down the street and don't go to Beacon,
right,
doesn't make you not a part of the body.
Right.
One spirit. Well, duh.
Right.
Just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, the second coming of Jesus.
Right.
One Lord, one faith. One baptism,
right.
One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. That's what Paul says. Okay, this is the standard for the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
You don't have to believe the same exact things about the timing of the second coming of Jesus.
No.
He just says that's our hope.
Exactly.
You don't have to all sing the same kind of hymns. You all don't have to wear the same kind of clothes, wear your hair all the same way. But recognize this, you're one body because of the one Spirit.
Amen. And it's the little things. Connie sent me this, and I'm going to have her send it out because signs you are growing in grace. And there's, look how many pages. There's like six of them by this guy named Scotty Smith. But I'm just going to read two or three. And these are how we know that we're beginning to walk in God's grace. A sign you're growing in grace is you work much harder at remembering names and forgetting slights. Isn't that good? A sign you're growing in grace is that everybody notices it but you. I like this one. A sign you're growing in grace. This reminds me of the old redneck jokes. But anyway. A sign you're growing. How do you know? Okay. A sign you're growing in grace. The redneck, our resident one, is in there in the control room. A sign you're growing in grace is movement from destructive cynicism towards redemptive engagement. Anybody can spew. I like that. A sign you're growing in grace is that you're less like a drive-by shooting with criticisms and more of a healing presence. Drive-by shooting. A sign you're growing in grace is evident when you receive feedback non-defensively and give it clearly and lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good? A sign you're growing in grace is evident when people don't feel like they have to walk on eggshells around you as much. Mm-mm. Married to that was, not now, is hard. Mm-mm. When you... and those people that I've been married to, their name shall remain nameless right now. So, you know, it's so true that when you're in a relationship, a church or a marriage or something else, and you are all the time walking around like you're walking on eggshells, there is something wrong here, sweetheart. Sweetheart. A sign you're growing in grace is committing fewer homicides in your heart.
Oh, I like that one.
And I have five or six pages right here. Some of them are hilarious. A sign you're growing in grace is you get to church early and sit there and pray for a few minutes prior to the service. Another one, you throw less pity parties.
I hope
parties.
Everybody could see that face on video.
Which face?
Your face.
Mine. Another sign is you're growing in grace is you throw less pity parties because you go to Jesus quicker. I'll give you the last one. A sign you're growing in grace is just grabbing a brownie without looking for the biggest or best crusted edged brownie. Guilty as charged.
I look for the one with the most icing.
Okay, me too. And so the point is, as you begin to grow in grace, you change your behavior.
Exactly.
What do you have to say about that, Shell?
I was just thinking about that the other day. Like, I noticed changes. I feel guilty if I swear, you know.
There you go.
I mean, I'm around it constantly, and but I become more aware.
You're more aware.
Doing it and shouldn't be doing it.
Exactly.
Shouldn't even be thinking it.
Exactly.
Just that's a small, you know.
But isn't that
sign,
cool? Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It's like you just become more aware of how you're coming across to people. Somebody told me yesterday I didn't smile enough, so I want to try.
Cool.
More often.
All right.
You know.
Cool. Amen. Good point, Pastor Jim. Comment on that before we do this song by Bebo Norman in just a minute.
I really like those signs of growing in grace, because you think back, are you the same you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, a month ago, yesterday? You know, we all are on this journey with God, and each day we just need to be a little close. And as we do through prayer, Bible study, all that, those changes just occur.
Well, if you want a copy of this, just email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and I'll send it to you, because these are such everyday things that we go through, and the way we change, just like not cutting somebody else off in traffic, or one that we've been talking about at Beacon a lot for the last couple of weeks, it seems like putting your grocery cart back. You know, I mean, just those little practicalities. God wants us to be salt and light, audience. He wants us to make a difference. He wants us to preserve the unity in our homes, in our church, in our family relationships. He wants us to work at this grace thing that he has given us. And it's so wonderful. Listen to this song, Nothing Without You, by Bebo Norman.
Take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. For I have nothing without you. Take my voice. And let it sing the songs of mercy I have found.
Praise God. That's a great song. I thought I hadn't heard it, but I have. Our own Aaron Boone, our new guitar player and singer, just did this a couple weeks ago in the praise band, didn't she? I love that song. I'm nothing without you. You know, when we try our best to have good attitudes, when we try to grow in grace and the knowledge of Him, as Peter says, grow in grace and the knowledge of God, and we try and we're doing it, and we come upon some difficult people or some difficult circumstances. You know, we've got to learn to say, God, I am powerless. It's step number one from AA. I am powerless over this situation. I have to surrender to my higher power. Well, we know our higher power is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And when we get to those places in our lives, Pastor Jim, we have got to learn to cry out. And David said, I cried unto the Lord and He heard my voice. I love Psalm 18:6. And from His temple, He heard my cry. Mm-hmm. My voice popped into His ears and He heard me and He answered me. Oh, my. Because I don't know about y'all, but there are days that being walking in grace is just not very easy.
No. Well, and because humanly, my issue for so long was, yeah, I knew I was saved by grace, but I thought I had to maintain it by works.
Oh,
you know,
that's profound.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, but it's grace from start to finish.
It is.
It has to be, because none of us are good enough. On our own, none of us are good enough for God.
And grace is best defined as God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but we have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And mercy is best defined as when you don't get what you deserve. In other words, you deserve to be punished, but God says, oh, no, I'm having mercy on you, right? But grace is when you get all this favor and all this, wow, wonderful stuff happen, and you go, wait a minute, what did I do to deserve it? And God says, it's not about what you did or didn't do. It's about who you are. And when you realize you are God's kid and He's got a plan for your life, then you start growing in all this grace. And it is sure fun. Ooh, Shell, comment on that, will you? Ooh, this just, radio show is taking a really crazy turn, hasn't it? I love it. It's good. Go ahead.
I just try to remember what you just said, and that's that we're all God's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who irritates you, just rubs you the wrong way, or just day to day, you're irritated by them, but you look at them and you're like, well, there's good in them. You just haven't seen that side, or maybe even made an effort to bring that side out.
Right. Yeah.
I totally agree.
Wow. Isn't it exciting, Shell, to see? I mean, I've known you now a few years, so seeing where you were and where you are now, and how you're putting this stuff into practice that we've been talking about today on Living the Good Life, the salt and the life, the light. And you're doing what you know to do to grow in God. Isn't that exciting to see that? It is for me as your pastor to see it. But, I mean, isn't it exciting to be you?
We have a long way to go.
No, we all have a long way to go. None of us arrive. We don't even arrive when we know as many verses and everything as Pastor Jim, right? And if you have 114 Bibles like he does, that doesn't mean you've arrived.
Exactly. I've got a long way to go.
Right? Because we're all a work in progress.
In progress.
Yes. Pastor Jim, that's your name. Would you comment on all that? Well, and then, Shell, I'm going to come back to you for some final thoughts, okay?
I remember back when I was in college.
Long time ago.
There was a bumper sticker back then.
Yeah.
Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet.
Yes, that's right.
And that was back in my more legalistic days. And what do you mean God's not finished with you? So I'm supposed to excuse what goes on in your life? And then I learned about grace, and I thought, you know, God has grace with me for all the times I've messed up. And He calls us to have that same grace toward one another, because we're still in this flesh. We are still going to mess up. And getting back to the unity thing, those are the things that can break the unity. If I let, well, Shell said this, or Shell didn't smile at me this morning. You know, people let things like that break the unity of the spirit. And, you know, well, she ought to know better than that. Where's just how spiritual does she think she is? You know, that's not great.
And churches sadly hurt people a lot, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to church because I was hurt, you know. The first one on this signs you're growing in grace, I didn't read it, but I'm going to read it now. A sign you're growing in grace is less bombast about not being a legalist and more humility because you get the gospel. Because the gospel is be that salt and light. It's not about legalistic rules.
Right.
It is not about whether or not you have short sleeves or you wear jeans.
Right.
It is about your heart and your attitude. That's what.
And just realizing, you know, God's working. We can't. You know, the more we try, the more frustrated we get.
And he just wants us to rest. You know, we did that song a little while ago.
It's like just,
you know, well, and when Jesus says in Matthew 28, and that song about rest was all about what Jesus said. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Those are the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 28, 11 through, no.
11. Chapter 11.
Chapter 11, 28 to 30. I had it wrong. Okay. And those are the words of Jesus. And he's saying, come here. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come here, baby. Sit on my lap. Come up here. Sit here and rest. Take a load off your feet. Take a load off your mind and your emotions.
Take a load off.
Take a load off. That's what Jesus is saying in the paraphrase translation of Pastor Marcia. All right, Shell, give me some final thoughts here. It's been a powerful show. I've enjoyed this.
I was just going to say, all the times I've thought about sleeping in and not coming to church, I come and something in me is at peace and is at rest. And when I go away, I feel like something's been lifted from me. And I just like going to our church because I don't have to feel on. And I'm just comfortable with the people and accept them. And I love the diversity and personalities and cultures and religious backgrounds and ages even. And it's just a great place to be. And I know I have a long way to go, but I just realize how many years I missed out. So I look forward to developing more in my relationship. And
you are, and we're very proud of you. And we never know what's going to happen, right? So you don't want to miss it because you don't know what might happen while you're gone.
I have no idea what will happen, but I never saw myself talking on this radio show.
How about that? Surprise, exactly. I mean, and isn't that cool, Shell, that God put a desire in your heart to do it? And, you know, and God does that. He says, okay, wait a minute. Let's stretch you a little bit, honey. Let's use you in ways that you never thought you could be used. You know?
I pray every day that he uses me.
Amen.
However he wants to. And I don't know how that's going to be.
That song we did this morning, probably the first time you'd ever heard it, it was one that Nathan wrote again in one of our services a couple years back. Use me, Lord, use me. Right. Hear my prayer, Lord, use me.
I just said that yesterday in a prayer.
Did you?
Yeah. I use those exact words. That's why it's weird.
Praise God. I've been singing it all weekend. I don't think I've sung that song for years. He wrote it maybe 5 or 6 years ago at Beacon in a service. It just flew out of his spirit and the keyboard. And here we were using that today. Use me, Lord, use me. Hear my prayer, Lord, use me. If my throat weren't so... No, I wouldn't sing it here anyway. But anyway, it's a great song. Pastor Jim, give us some final thoughts.
Well, the whole... Kind of like the whole... Even though we seem to have bounced around like a pinball.
But we really haven't.
But we really haven't. Because we started with the anointing. We ended with the anointing.
That's it. And we haven't... It's really taken a really cool progression.
Yeah,
I love it.
We've made a big old circle.
Yeah.
But that's... And that's great. But
that
yeah.
is so cool.
I just want to encourage everybody who's listening, take to heart what we've talked about today and just rest in God and ask God to show you maybe areas of your life where you need a touch of His grace, Amen. Where you need His light to shine in those areas. And then just for everybody too, just truly let your light shine.
Amen.
Draw upon, you know, God's presence within you to let your light shine that, that people are going to see and then glorify the Father.
Wow. So true. Wow. Oh my. Okay. Did you have anything else to add to that, Shel?
No, I just pray that everybody has a good week.
Amen.
And come to Bible study if you get the chance Wednesday. I'll try to come up with another game.
Would you do that? We're on evangelists and pastors this yes. week. Okay. That's what we're on, because we've been studying on Wednesday nights the ministry gifts to the mm-hmm. body of Christ, which there are five of them, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So we're going to hit evangelist Wednesday night and kind of maybe blend into pastor, and Pastor Jim and I teach that together a lot of times, and we're just real spontaneous, so however it flows is what we do, right? And we are in this series, Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. Been on it for a little while. I don't know when we're getting off of it, but that's where we are right now. And to be a harvest hand for the Kingdom of God, you got to be salt and you got to be light. And that's what it's all about. Join us Sunday morning at 10, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, in a great little strip mall right behind Five Guys, easy to find. Kind of at the corner of 38th Street in Almerton. Mm-hmm. So we welcome any of you at 10 o'clock and Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. We've got a lot of activities going on. 3 weeks from today is huge. It's our 10th. Oh, we need applesauce. Applesauce, here it comes. And you know the other thing we need, that drum roll thing. You know where it is? There you go. Yes. Applesauce in the drum roll for our 10th anniversary as a ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We will celebrate it 3 weeks from today with a great radio show that's just going to blow your socks off. Something a little different than normal. Woo, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord here at the radio station.
Amen.
In the house of the Lord this morning, the radio station this afternoon. It's been a lot of fun. Shel Loring Gray, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Pastor Marcia McAllister, here to give you the word and to enjoy talking about our precious Lord and Savior. Have a great week. If you need prayer, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to talk to Pastor Jim or me, mine is pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. His is Pastor Jim at beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week. See you next week live on this radio station, Living the Good Life, 4 o'clock Sundays. Have a good week.
Thank you, Lord, for living the good life.